opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Giving you a chance to win government mule tickets at 6 o'clock when Grant joins us. This radio program is exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condoy and Morod. State planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Toby in for GP. I'm Rainey Duye, Fanny Mouye, old Danilo Gallinari Rouye, hanging out with you guys until 6:30. No Nats tonight, except for James Wood in the Home Run Derby. We'll talk about that in a little while as well. The old poll of the day is up. That's right. Want to accept the fans' poll of the day. It's presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We'd like you to go the old 106.7 The Fan Twitter page and vote on this poll. Local 53 are the oldest team in the NFL by average age entering the 2025 season. Does that concern you? My answer, of course, is yes. All you guys are saying no, and that is fine. That's how polls work. It's fine. Whatever your answer is, it's fine. Literally, it's fine. It's not like when people tell you it's fine and then like kind of go, mm-hmm, it's fine. It's actually fine.
It's actually fine.
It's fine.
So the polls are for. Get a pulse of the people.
Tobes, you mentioned your update. What do we know here? Garrett Wilson signed a mega extension.
4 years, $130 million, $90 million guaranteed, $32.5 million AAV. That now makes him the fifth highest paid wide receiver. He gets right in between DK Metcalf, who's at 33, and AJ Brown, who's at 32. So the top paid wide receivers in the league. Jamar Chase at $40.25 million. He's way ahead of everybody else. Justin Jefferson at 35, CeeDee Lamb at 34, DK Metcalf at 33, now Garrett Wilson at 32.5, then AJ Brown at 32, just three other guys over 30 million at this point. Amon-Ra just over 30 million, and then Brandon Ayuk and Tyreek Hill at $30 million. So the interesting part about this, Danny, is seeing how this affects the Terry McLaurin contract extension, if it affects the Terry McLaurin contract extension. I would think that he was already asking in this range. When you see another Ohio State receiver who's much younger, by the way, get this sort of number, does that maybe change things? Does a $90 million guarantee over 4 years maybe up the guarantee number that Terry's asking for?
So it's got to be somewhat germane, okay? And again, I understand the team's perspective here, so we'll get into it. So just doing a quick side-by-side comp over the last three seasons, because Wilson's only played in the league for 3 years, signing his extension now at age 25 versus 30 for Terry McLaurin. McLaurin, 41 fewer catches over the last 3 years. Does that surprise you? 41 fewer.
That's crazy.
And does that seem like a lot, right amount, et cetera? McLaurin only topped 80 two times in his career. Last year was the second time. Garrett Wilson, 83 as a rookie, 95. Last year, or 2 years ago, rather, and 101, catching a bunch of short things from Aaron Rodgers and company. Yardage-wise, 3249 for McLaurin, 3249 Wilson, 3289 McLaurin. McLaurin's got him edged by yards by a little bit. 40 yards difference.
I think that calculates because you think of the different styles of receivers. Terry's more, he's going to make something with it. Garrett Wilson is the kind of guy that the Jets have looked at the last couple of years and say, we're just going to get him the ball 8 to 10 times a game, regardless of where it is. If it's just a quick screen, whatever, we're just going to find a way to get the ball in his hands. That hasn't always been the philosophy here in D.C. with Terry McLaurin.
So I think Wilson's spectacular. I'm a huge fan. Now, he's on the slender side, so maybe not designed to take some of the in-traffic catches, but you look at some of the highlight reel things. He made one of the greatest catches I've ever seen.
Insane.
I believe it was last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 2 years ago. I don't even remember, but it was one-handed.
It was last year because I think it was for Rodgers, right?
Yeah, it was one-handed and it shouldn't have happened. I just look up Garrett Wilson highlights and go, oh my God, holy crap. Now, Terry is the in-catch goat. I mean, not exactly, but you know what I mean. I mean, that's what he's known for. He is awesome at that. Wilson, to me, is an untapped superstar. Now, that may be because I'm super bullish on him. I still love the player. He has been, tell me this is familiar, saddled with god-awful quarterback play and some mismanagement at the highest levels and a bad staff.
Let me see if I can place that one.
Does that sound like anything familiar? Yeah, these guys were green. Our guys wore like an off-shade of burgundy. Now they're going back to the real one. But Wilson, I think, is excellent. This is what you do. You figure it out now and sign him because the price ain't going down, right? Now, I don't know what kind of year he's going to have with Justin Fields at quarterback or otherwise, but I think this dude is excellent. So if that money for a 25-year-old is now the baseline, what does that mean for Terry?
That's what's interesting, because to me, I don't know how much this really does affect Terry, because I would think that he was already looking at the DK Metcalf contract. Garrett Wilson didn't go over that. 4 years, 130, 32.5 AAV. It's pretty similar, right? It's not that different, but it's still a little bit less than what DK Metcalf got. I'd have to look at the guarantees. Maybe that's the difference in the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
DK Metcalf, I'm not exactly sure what his guarantees were. I'm seeing if I can find that, but maybe that's the difference. But I don't know that it affects it hugely. That's kind of the range that Terry was going to go in, right? Kind of where you thought he'd be asking.
Metcalf, this is quick and dirty. Metcalf, practical guarantee, $60 million.
Okay, so the guarantees went up probably, right? You've got 90 versus 60. So I can't do the quick math on that, but that's quite a bit of the contract, 130, 90 million of a guarantee. That's quite a bit of it. Maybe that affects what Terry's asking for in terms of the guarantees. But if we're just looking AAV in terms of what it's going to be a salary cap hit, I can't think that it's all that different than what he was already asking for if he's looking at that DK contract. And I can't think that he's definitely not looking at Jamar Chase. And even if he's looking at Justin Jefferson, that's $2.5 million. It's not like it's
right.
A drastic difference. And, you know, I've heard you guys talk about whether you're going to go to that number or not. But to me, I don't know that it just suddenly changes a whole lot for Terry seeing this deal get done.
Did the number for Terry go up because of this?
I don't think he's going to go less than 32.5.
So did the number potentially go down? I'm going to this.
No.
And that's kind of my point here, is it's important because it's another player in this range.
Correct.
Right? The team could be pointing, hey, man, T. Higgins, DJ Moore. I'm throwing some names. Calvin Ridley, Jalen Waddle. I'd rather have Terry than most of those guys. Devontae Smith, who's a two. Nico Collins signed his a couple years ago. You look at Michael Pittman, who's pretty equivalent to you in terms of numbers.
Those look like bargains, by the way.
Right. Those are great bargains. But all those guys are way less than you're asking. So does that net us something? Is that important? Another guy north of 30 for a bad team that's trying to build something. Right now, the difference is Washington had a great year, whereas the Jets didn't. They haven't had one since Mark Sanchez was handing it off a bunch and rating a bleeping snack. But another guy that's north of 30, that's in that 32, 33 range, I think is only good for Terry's camp.
100%. 100%.
Right?
I don't think it's going to hurt his case. It's certainly not going to do that. And I think maybe it raised his price in the sense that if he was asking, 31, 31 and a half, now you're like, well, let's just bump that up to match the Garrett Wilson to 32.5. But I got to think that he's already around that 32.5, 33, 32 range anyway. So maybe it just bumps it up to make sure, hey, you saw Garrett Wilson's. Let's go ahead and make sure that we match that, even though it's just a slight bit more. I'm curious to there's no way to know what they're asking. So
right.
I just...
we'll just hear from a fifth national reporter that's, quote, not going great.
I just couldn't think that he's going to be asking for anything that's outrageous. And I think the thing, if the team is trying to play some hardball here, let me put it this way. If I were Terry's agent, these were the areas I'd be looking right there. That 32.5, 33. And so I don't think it largely affects outside of the guarantees now in the contract.
The only guy that is Terry's age who's got an AAV in the space that we might be talking about here is Tyreek Hill. Now, Tyreek Hill, nowhere near the citizen that Terry McLaurin is. So you got to take the character and content of the person outside of it.
At his height, much better wide receiver.
Well, and that's not an insult.
And I'm a Terry guy.
That's one of the most prolific receivers we've ever seen. That is a game-changing, if you have him when he's right, that's the easy button. That's short. Take it to the house.
Yes.
That's deep over the top. It opens up everything else. You saw it in Kansas City. You saw it the first year or two in Miami before things now maybe are different. Who knows if you ever get that back or not. But everybody else that's making these huge totals, the next oldest, I think, is DK Metcalf at 27. Other than that, it's Higgins, Ayuk, 26. Amon-Ra St. Brown still only 24, by the way. I guess he's 25 now. But first of all, what?
Crazy.
How was that? It had been in the league 9 years somehow, and he's still doing that.
By the way, why did people overthink drafting him?
Yeah, seriously.
What did he go? Fourth round? Third? Fourth round?
Yeah.
Fifth round?
I don't know. What do you like guys that get open and catch everything? That's not really for me.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's too much. Jamar Chase, mid-20s. Jefferson, mid-20s. CeeDee Lamb, mid-20s. Brown, mid-20s. Amon-Ra St. Brown, mid-20s. You see the theme.
Yes.
The older receiver getting north of 30, we don't have much precedent for it. And Tyreek Hill wasn't 30 when he signed.
And to me, that's the only thing holding this up, right? That's it. Age? That's got to be the only thing.
Age one, and here's the other. I think they're related. Here's what I've said. And this would not make me popular. Linnell and I chopped this up a bunch last week. And it's good that you're here. You get a chance to do it too. I would try to be as much like this Washington front office as they have been, which is kind, thoughtful, people-oriented, going the extra mile. So the example I use is, Toby plays for me, you turn my ankle, I know your dad's in the stands, I'll text your dad, hey, here's what's going on, he turned his ankle, it's bruised right now, we think it's okay, we don't think it's broken, we're not going to the hospital, don't worry, order another plate of nachos, we'll be fine. Whatever, right? That sort of stuff goes a long way, and I'm a fan of it. I'm going to treat players well while they're here. Whatever you want, we're going to make sure that you're healthy, taken care of. You want the massage gun? We'll get you that. Whatever you want, we're going to do. But when it comes to this stuff, you're not going to like me. This is unpleasant business stuff. If you'd like to do unpleasant business stuff, this is part of my job. Not to be everybody's best friend, not to be everybody's BFF totes, but to be ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, according to my data, the projected salary cap, and it might go, the projected franchise tag amount next year, and that might change based on salary cap info, but over the cap, place that I like a lot, says it's north of $28 million. 120% of that is 33. I'm well within my rights to just do that. I would like to pay you based on that. Let's do the average of those two, which is $30.5 million. I'll do that for 3 years. It's the Kirk Cousins game in reverse.
Sure.
If you don't like that and are asking for, as a 30-year-old, 32.5, 33, 34, more than DK Metcalf, whatever, I'm not going to pay that because I don't have to pay that much more. I've got you under control for 3 years. This year's contract, you don't earn anything until you show up and play. I trust you're too good of a person not to pout this away. You show up this year, I franchise you for 2 years, and then you can be a free agent at age 34. Are you sure you want to do that? And this is how I talked to his agent. Are you sure you want to go into the market that way? You can leak whatever you want to whatever reporter you want about how much of a jerk I am. That's fine. But we're not just in the business of overpaying guys because they're nice.
Sure.
I love Terry McLaurin. We want him here. He's a huge part of our offense. This, to me, is a data point that's going to be they're going to try to use it against the team. But if I'm the team, I'm going, can you make Terry 25? We'll sign him to 32.5. We'll sign him to 33. As a 25-year-old, he's not 25. He's 30.
I think you bring up some really, really good points, and I'm sure some of those conversations are what is holding this up, right? I think they are willing to have those difficult conversations, and you know, it sounds like, for the most part, Terry's kind of stayed out of the mix here, and even though you get the reports that he's frustrated. You haven't gotten anything from Terry himself saying anything. So I think a lot of that is agent speak. The counter I would have to what you're saying, Danny, and say you're trying to play hardball. You said, what, 31 and a half is kind of what you're looking at?
30 and a half would be the average of those 2 years, yeah.
Okay, so 30 and a half, 31, somewhere in that range. I would say, look, dude, right now is when you can afford to pay a little bit extra. Right now is the time that you can do that. I understand that it's a business. I understand that you need to be frugal with the amount of money that you're spending. But part of the luxury right now of having a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal is that I don't have to penny pinch as hard. And so right now is the time to say, you know what, I was willing to go to 30 and a half. Is it going to kill me to get to 33? I think that's the time to do it. If we were 4 years down the line, Danny, and Jaden Daniels was getting $70 million, $80 million, whatever his next contract is going to be, I would be much more on board with what you're saying, look, I would love to do the deal. We absolutely love you, but we got to be a little bit careful in how we spend our money because that $2.5 million could be holding up us from getting another veteran DB, or it could hold us up from, you know, that being able to pile that on to get a linebacker or whatever it may be. Now's not the time that that's the issue. We were talking the entire offseason about how much cap space they had. And you have to look that this is going to maybe handcuff them a little bit over the next couple of years. But is $2.5 million over the next 2.5-3 years going to be the difference between being able to create a good football team or not? I just don't think it is. So I'd be willing to do it, understanding that when it's time to pay Jaden Daniels, then Terry's contract is going to be up, and likely Terry is probably on the back end of his career, and I don't know if you're re-signing him then or not anyways. So if you're signing him to, say, a three-year extension, you've got him literally running up until the time when you pay Jaden Daniels. And then once Jaden gets that big paycheck, well, now that $30-plus million is off the book. So I'd be willing to do it now. Obviously, I'm a big Terry fan, and I think one of the bigger ones here at the station, so take it with a grain of salt to an extent. But to me, this isn't the time to haggle over $2.5-3 million. That time comes in 3 to 4 years when Jaden's about to get paid. Now is not the time to do that.
So in principle, that makes perfect sense. I guess my response, again, if I've taken on the team hat somehow. I don't know how I'm now Adam
Danny Peters.
Yeah, I'm way handsomer. We're not that far away from me having to give Brandon Coleman an enormous raise. I'm going to have to give, if we sign Frankie Louvu, whose last year is 2026, if he's productive still, I might have to sign him. Longer term, we're not that far away from me giving extensions to multiple players that I drafted. So if everybody gets to say that, hey, you got more cap space. I don't anymore. I'm going to lose it. We have to, this is the nature of business and not just football, but anything else. Your company, I got news for you, wants to pay you as little as possible. And you as a person, rightfully so, would like to make as much as possible. That negotiation and that debate is going to happen until the end of time. Right, and nobody's doing anything wrong about that. But I can't just go, come on, I got a window. You just get more just because. I can't do that. I understand your point, and it's a very valid point. I'm not disagreeing with any of the context. Yes, I can afford, quote-unquote, to pay you a little bit extra. When I do that for you, do I have to do it for Cosme? Do I have to do it for, there aren't that many young players that might come up for extensions because of Ron Rivera and the Martys. Thank you guys, your boobs, and I'm so glad you're gone. But you know what I mean? Everybody's going to go.
Do you want to set that precedent where you're like, hey, I'm willing to give you a little extra on top.
Yeah, everybody suddenly comes running back with their hand up. So that's kind of the point here. So Garrett Wilson, if you're just joining us, signs AAV, annual average value, $32.5 million. 25-year-old star, comparable numbers to Terry, more receptions, fewer yards. Used slightly differently, but very similar players, minus a five-year age difference. 800-636-1067. How does that inform the negotiations with Terry in Washington? Does that change anything? Did the number go up, the number go down? What do you think? 800-636-1067, your call.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's next? But when my little guy was probably about four. This, I think, is Safe and Sound by, I forget who it is, like M83 or something like that?
Capital City.
Capital City, that's who it is. Capital City Go-Go. Or Capital City Mumbo Sauce, I think. He decided he really liked this song. One drive. We played this song, I'm not kidding you, 19 times. Danny, are you being funny and exaggerating?
19 times?
19 times on one drive.
Ew.
He would just go again. Great. Thank you, Steve. Miss you, buddy. I mean, it was a lot.
19 times?
19 times. So now, I heard Safe and Sound more than your average bear.
I will say, like, when I like a song, I'm willing to listen to it quite a bit. Now, twice or three times in the same day, it may be a bit much. Like, it needs to be, like, if I'm listening into it in the morning, then maybe in the afternoon, then the evening, then I could listen to it three times. 19 times on one drive.
So that now he's sort of out of that group. He'll do it two or three times on a song. So we listened to his walk-up song, Gravedigger by Livingston.
By the way, kind of silly.
Gravedigger?
Yes.
Yeah. We did that three times on a trip. And I'm just like, dude, we're going to a game. It's your game. Get you pumped up, whatever you got to do. For my oldest, he likes the Lacy DC, little Metallica. So I'll make a little playlist for him via the Spotify. But that's the deal for that. But yeah, I've heard Safe and Sound a bunch. You could see a concert. 6 o'clock, giving away tickets to see Government Mule at Warner Theater. That concert's in October. So stay tuned for that when Grant joins us live from Truist Park down there in Atlanta in advance of the Home Run Derby. Talk about the Derby a little bit as well at 6. James Wood and company taking the field to hit some nukes. But right now, Garrett Wilson just signed a pretty major deal. Mm-hmm. And when you notice a receiver signing a mega contract, you notice that when you're here in Washington.
Yeah, 100%. So just again with the details, it's 4 for $130, 90 million guaranteed, which is 32.5 million AAV. When you look at DK Metcalf's contract, which we've talked plenty about over the last couple of weeks, that was 4 for $132 for a 33 AAV, and then 60 million guaranteed at signing. So 30 million more guaranteed for Wilson, just about a half million less, 2 million less over the 4 years. So to me, if I were Terry McLaurin and his agent, I'm eyeing those two contracts, and it's got to be pretty close. The baseline now is $30 million. Frankly, to me, the baseline's probably $31 million, and you got to be getting close to that $32, $33 million range when you see Garrett Wilson and DK Metcalf both get paid. And, you know, the big argument for me would be, yes, I'm older. I understand that that's going to get brought up, but productivity-wise, even with bad quarterback play, I've been just as good, if not better, than both of these guys.
Fewer catches, more yards. Yeah, different type of receiver. So right now, FanDuel Sportsbook, literally just happened to be on my Twitter feed. They're replaying. They're playing a bunch of Garrett Wilson highlights. And the catch that I'm talking about, he answered the question, and I didn't know this, can the same foot twice count as 2 feet? To give you an idea of how absurd this catch was, he basically palmed it with his right hand because his left hand's being interfered with, and his right leg is, I don't know, what would you say, 12 feet in the air? Somehow he's
way
basically
up there
doing the splits.
Yes.
I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. His left foot hits once, and then he kind of bounces again. The outside of his left foot, I guess his ankle, ends up getting called a touchdown. It's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. That level of highlight. So it's a big deal. The fact that he just signed a mega extension on top of his rookie deal. He's only in year three, remember, or entering year four now of his initial contract. 800-636-1067. How do you think this informs the Terry conversation? Mo and Largo, first up on this. Mo, what's up, bud?
What's up, Mo?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I think this just illuminates what they're not offering Terry. I think we're just
assuming
that they're offering him 3 years. Maybe they're only offering him 2 years guaranteed because it seems like the going rate for these top-tier receivers is 3 years guaranteed. However they finesse it is however they go about it. But they seem to be three-year deals guaranteed. So I got to believe that Terry wants something around 3 years, and I don't think he's asking for an astronomical number because given his character and how he's gone about things, he doesn't tend to make waves. So it's making me believe that maybe the team is playing hardball and maybe they're not offering him 3 years. Maybe they're only guaranteeing him 2 years on this deal, and we all believe that he deserves 3 years. Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate you, buddy. What about that, Tubbs?
I think that's an interesting point because
I hadn't considered years at all, by the way.
Years may be what the argument is over because to me, you talk about where your hard point is, right? And we've talked about, is there a walkaway point? To me, my big bargaining thing would not be the AAV because I don't think he's going to be ridiculous and ask Jamar Chase numbers. It would be, I can't do 4 years, dude. I can't. That's getting into the Jaden territory. That's getting, because you're adding it onto this year, right? So that suddenly becomes 5 years. I'm already looking at, if I have 3 years of this and 4 years of Terry, you're probably diminished in some way the last 2 years of that. And I can accept that if I get great play over the next couple, but I can't throw another year on there. And that's what's intriguing. Maybe it's 2 and 3 is what he was saying. Maybe Terry's side's asking for 3 and the team's offering 2. I wouldn't be shocked if it's 3 and 4 is the discussion. If Terry's side is asking for 4 and the team's willing to do 3, that would be an interesting thing if that's the wrinkle that we're looking at here.
So, for example, they signed Frankie Louvu, unbelievable contract, by the way, to a guy that's hyper-productive, and I expect even more. His last 2 years are, and again, I'm not a salary cap expert. They're much smarter people than me. We have them on the show. But his last 2 years are known as void years, meaning you're spreading out the dough, but we all know that it's like it's bogus at the back end, if that makes any sense,
yeah,
right?
You're not under contract for those years.
Right, where you're minimizing the dead cap hit at the very end, and when you move on from the player, it's not as cumbersome. So agents don't mind that because the upfront number, look at the big deal my client just signed, where in reality it's less, right? So everybody kind of wins. The team is like, yep, take your victory.
Yeah, it's essentially deferred money.
We're saving money, and it's not a huge deal. It doesn't cost us when it's time to move on from you. So, but he essentially signed a three-year deal. But the term looks like 4 or 5 years is the reason I bring it up. So if you go 3 years from McLaurin, that's on top of this year. So this is his age 30 season. 3 years would be age 31, 32, 33, right? And then the fourth year is void year or whatever. Now you're kind of in line with the timing of some of these other guys. Chase signed a 4 year, Jefferson 4 year, CeeDee Lamb 4 year, Metcalf 4 year. Those guys are all the highest paid dudes AAV wise in the NFL. Maybe there's a sticking point there. I hadn't thought of that. It's a good point from Mo to bring it up.
Well, which do you think it is? Do you think it is a years thing? Do you think it is a money thing? The other interesting part about this.
Yes, by the way.
the bonus, or excuse me, not the bonus, the guarantees in the contract for DK and Garrett Wilson were a big difference. And I wonder if that will play into the new contract now because of the fact that you had 4 for 132 for Metcalf, you had 4 for 130 for Garrett Wilson, darn near the same contract. But the difference was $60 million guaranteed for Metcalf, $90 million of 130 guaranteed for Garrett Wilson. I would assume when Terry sees that, the guarantees need to go up. But I almost wonder, that's a great point about the years, if that's more the sticking point than the money. Because I got to think that the negotiation over the money, Danny, is pretty easy. Like, it's not as if the money is like, the Commanders are offering 23 or 24. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are.
And if they are, then I can't get on board with that. But I would think that they're being pretty reasonable, right? Even if the pretty reasonable is like 28 or 29, like that's more reasonable than just like, well, that's not even a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's years. And maybe, I don't know. It's an interesting discussion about this contract because we all assume it's going to get done. But tomorrow's going to be a week from veterans reporting. And it feels like as time goes on, it's less and less likely that Terry's there at the beginning. And I've come up now with kind of the deadline for me of when that glass gets open and I hit the red panic button. If Terry's not on the flight with the guys or the bus, wherever they're going, up to Foxborough for the joint practices against the Patriots, which I think is August 6th before an August 8th preseason game, then it's full on panic mode to me. If he misses the first week of training camp, I can live with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're getting into weeks 3 and 4 of training camp, and now I'm worried you might pull a hamstring when you're out there trying to do drills and stuff,
right,
and you're going to affect week 1, 2, 3, and 4, potentially maybe more if you get hurt, then we're getting into a really bad spot.
No, but again, I'm glad Mo made that phone call because I hadn't thought specifically about years. I just sort of assumed this, when you strip away all the big noise and the big announcement that the agent's going to make about how much money this all is, and you start looking at the guarantees, I always assumed it was really at its core a 3-year deal.
That's what I assumed as well.
That's what I've always kind of assumed.
Correct.
But his point, maybe it isn't. Also with the guarantees. Now, again, it's hard to get great math on this sort of stuff, whether it's guaranteed at signing, practical guarantees, et cetera. But if that $90 million is right, 112, Jamar Chase, 110, Justin Jefferson, 100, CeeDee Lamb, Wilson's fourth there at 90.
Yeah, 40. Yep. Or fourth at fourth and 90. Yep.
Fourth at 90. That may be, to your point, where the sticking is. The quote practical guarantee versus guaranteed at signing and those kinds of deals, where a huge initial check is going to change hands, right? The guaranteed at signing, Jefferson blows everyone away at 88, but there's a lot of guys in that 50, 46, 61 kind of range. And maybe that's where the sticking point is, because if it's, again, what's due at signing versus practical guarantees? Contracts in the NFL are so annoying and so weird because of this kind of stuff. You just want to be like, dude, how much money is it? Because they're not guaranteed deals. It's not like the NBA where when you see LeBron James signs for 60, it's 60.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a good topic on that. You know what we haven't done yet? We haven't spun the wheel. We got to spin the wheel for the Local 53, and we'll talk about whatever player it lands on. That's part of the gig. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
G&D here on The Fan. GP will actually join G&D. That's how crazy things are right now. In about 15 minutes, give you a chance to win some government mule tickets as well at that time. Right now, as we always do, leading up to training camp, which, by the way, is right around the corner. She's a-coming. We're going to spin the wheel of the Local 53 and discuss whatever player it lands on. Darius has prepared many of these. This is the latest and the greatest. We don't know who this is going to be, so stop asking. Darius, spin away.
And Young is throwing on first down. To the ground. Ruled an interception by Will Harris, who spins inside the 40-yard line. It looked like an overthrow.
Will's got a unique background, John, because of his experience at corner. And so what does that look like to leave him outside at corner where it's a safety spot and you can play some different techniques? Can he play over a slot? So the fact that he's done those jobs in the NFL, that's a big deal.
I think Will Harris is kind of one of those guys that he's throwing a secondary and he's basically just a small linebacker who's going to come up and make hits. He loves the game. He's a fun guy to watch.
In addition to throwing a cutter down and away to Howie Kendrick and giving up a really famous home run, he's also a safety now for Local 53. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, Washington legend, Will Harris.
A Washington legend. Also, by the way, was on the Nationals roster. I'm doing bits now. Everybody make sure they understand there's Will Harris. That Will Harris never pitched for Washington, but he pitched against Washington, and Howie Kendrick had a bomb off him off the Howie Kendrick foul pole in Houston. Everyone can take that. But this Will Harris brought in to be their strong safety, to be Jeremy Chinn 2.0, Topes.
Yeah, so what's interesting is when you lose Jeremy Chinn, who, big dude, I mean, if you get to see this guy in person, 6'3", 220, really, really impressive-looking dude, it's kind of hard to replace that with a guy who's only 6'1", 206 in Will Harris, but and he looks smaller than that, honestly, when you see him in highlights. But he plays physical like Jeremy Chinn. You heard them describe him as a small linebacker of sorts, and he kind of plays that way. Now, my question is, can he fill that Chinn role well enough? Because last year, Jeremy Chinn played really, really well, I thought, and specifically against the run. I thought he was okay against the pass. PFF actually has him graded against the pass much better than I thought. They had him graded in coverage as a 66.2, which was 48th among safeties, but they had a really good run defense grade on him of a 72.2, versus you look at a Will Harris last year, and again, PFF grades aren't gospel, but gives you a little bit of an idea. Run defense grade was a 63.1 for Harris and a coverage grade of a 60.1. So just a little bit down from what Jeremy Chinn was. They obviously didn't want to re-sign Jeremy Chinn at the number that he went for, so you get maybe a slightly worse version. But to me, he's very, very similar in the style of game that he plays. So I'm interested to see if he's going to be able to step in and play that same role that Chinn played last year. Because remember, we didn't know how well Chinn was going to play.
Right.
And he ended up stepping in and playing really, really well. I think he's got a big opportunity in front of him. And, you know, I don't know how much of the defensive success rides on Will Harris. But if he can play well, I think he can be a big asset for the team.
If you want him to turn and run with people, you're going to be disappointed. Right? If someone, you know, is running a go ball from the slot or you find him in quarters trying to run with somebody deep, you're going to be in trouble. If you let him come downhill and lay the wood on people, I think he'll be just fine. That's the challenge of the scheme. They basically need, to me, it's almost like that extra line. That's the linebacker that they play base nickel so often because teams are spreading you out. Three wide receivers, I think, a lot. You see some two tight end looks. and some jumbo stuff. Philadelphia pushes you around to a degree. But for the most part, that safety that can kind of be your off-ball linebacker playing downhill is sort of what you need. And it's less about coverage than it is about, again, just you find something, to find where you're supposed to go, and you get involved. Jeremy Chinn seemed like he was in every tackle last year.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get teams where, you know, the technical positions are strong safety and free safety, and sometimes you get teams where neither one really takes on either role, right? They're kind of doing a little bit of both. With this team, it's pretty obvious that they have a strong safety who's going to come down in the box and who's going to play that sort of a role of, like you're saying, that nickel linebacker, be someone that can help against the run but can give you coverage against the tight end and isn't quite a linebacker but has more linebacker tendencies. And then you've got the free safety in Quan Martin, who's going to play that deep center field, who's going to play that. I thought he played pretty well last year. I know you guys have talked about him before. Yeah. So I think he's played pretty well. So I think that tandem can work well together. I'm just curious, though, can you get the same sort of production out of Will Harris that you got out of Jeremy Chinn, or are you going to kick yourself for not being willing to pony up and keep Jeremy Chinn around?
So he's basically going to make half of what Chinn's making this year. Clearly a cost-cutting measure where they thought, you know what, we'll be fine. We'll figure something out. By the way, Cam Curl, just for reference, making in between those two guys, right? So I think Chinn's at 8 per year, Curl 6 per year, and Harris around 4. So that's clearly the point of that, right? Is to go, we can get away with it here. I'm okay with that, right? I am. You have to save somewhere. You have to find cost-effective players somewhere. Last year it was Dante Fowler. Who was more cost-effective than that guy?
Yeah.
A dude that was making punter money who led your team in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find some of those guys. That's how good organizations do it. I'm hoping they identified Will Harris as someone where they could go, you know what? He was okay at times in Detroit, had a 90-plus tackle season. He was in and out of the lineup okay at times in New Orleans. We think we've got the role for him. We will plug him into that role and have him thrive. What used to happen here so often was guy did something well elsewhere. That's nice. Come here and do something different. Right? See Haynesworth, see Josh Norman, see a lot of the marquee free agent signings. Don't do that. And I think this group is too smart to do crap like that. I think you identify what someone's going to do for you and you have them do that instead of show up and say, hey, the idea was you'd be the strong safety, but now we need you to turn and run with fast wide receivers. No, thank you. I don't want him running with Devontae Smith in the Philadelphia game, right? So to me, I think the outlook on him is I'm a little more bullish, I think, based on the front office and the staff than I am on the player himself. Because the track record is fine, right? But to me, it's maybe fine plus. Whereas I feel like Jeremy Chinn was pretty good. I don't think he's going to get to pretty good. I think it'll be fine plus, short of pretty good. If that made any sense.
I think he's going to be one of those glue guys on the defense where he's one of those dudes that I don't know that he's going to have impactful plays all the time. Maybe he comes up and thumps some guys, which is something that he's really, really good at. But I don't think you're going to see him making plays all over the football field. But it's more so one of those guys that if he's not there, you notice, right? If he blows a coverage assignment, if he gets beat deep, like you're saying, if he misses a tackle, a run fit, I think those are the sorts of situations where you notice him more versus him being a standout player on that defensive side of the ball.
We're going to notice James Wood tonight on our television sets. Home Run Derby, guys are taking batting practice now. Speaking of that field, I think maybe I saw Grant Paulson in the background on MLB Network. I didn't really, but I'm going to say that for you guys to keep the illusion, the theater of the mind going. We're gonna
Is that Grant right there?
Yeah, look at this.
There he is.
No,
right there.
No, on the left. The guy on the left.
Yeah, there's Grant.
We'll catch up with Grant. We'll talk some Home Run Derby. We'll do that next on The Fan.
1-0 pitch to Wood. Swinging a high fly ball, center field deep. Back goes Hilliard to the warning track at the wall. It's gone! James Wood does it! The long nightmare is over! Win it 4-3. He puts it on the batter's eye hill with a soaring, towering home run to straightaway center field. They're mobbing James Wood as he crosses the plate. His first career walk-off homer.
That was Dave Jagler, heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. You'll be heard by Bennett when you call 800-636-1067. You'll win two tickets to see Government Mule Friday, October 31st at Warner Theater. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit WPGC.com/events. probably not right, is it? Probably 1067thefan.com/events?
Yeah, I would think that's correct.
Yeah. So here's what you're going to do for more information. 1067thefan.com/events. There you go. Whatever you put in front of him, he will read. Just go straight burgundy on that ass. There you go. Listen, you're welcome to go there too. It's our sister station, but go to the fan. Go to the fan. There you go. Grant Paulson's coming up in a couple minutes. Speaking of Grant, he's on the field. He's on the field right now, chatting up players.
Yeah, there he is. We're watching MLB Network. I see him.
Behind the second guy.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, there he is.
We'll have some Mackenzie Gore audio for you guys tomorrow. Grant caught up right on the field here in advance of the All-Star game. But moments ago, he caught up with a young slugger, superstar, in this home run derby, James Wood. Here he is with GP live from Truist Field.
I found James Wood on the field before the home run derby. You just got your BP round in. How did it feel?
Good. I'm ready to go. Just got to wait a little bit now. So,
was it an easy decision for you to participate? I'm sure baseball reached out. We saw the story that you were talking in the car with your sisters, and they're like, yeah, do it. And you're like, okay. I mean, what was the process like to decide to do it?
I don't know. It's always something I like wanted to be a part of. And, I think just decided like, now's a good time. So, it's just super excited for it. So, we'll see.
Have you thought about what tonight could just do for you in terms of your national recognition and stardom? The whole world's watching, and you're in the cage all by yourself.
Not really, honestly. I'm going to go out there. It's just going to be me and Ricky, and hopefully we can just have a good time and just hit some balls hard.
What is the mindset to kind of stay within yourself? We don't really ever see a whole lot of energy. Are you getting up? But like, how do you try not to make this a bigger deal than just taking some hacks?
I don't know. We'll see. It's already pretty packed right now, but just got to take it all in and just enjoy it.
Have you thought at all about just how crazy this year has been yet? Have you had a chance to pause? Only 22, an all-star in the Derby. It's all happening really fast.
Yeah, it's moving quick. I'm just trying to enjoy it every day. So I'm just lucky to be in the spot I'm in, and I'm just trying to enjoy every bit of it.
Does Ricky often throw beeps to you, or are there different guys? Like, how'd you choose him?
Yeah, usually, like, when I'm hitting on the field, it's almost always Ricky, so...
So you obviously know the rules. You've watched the Derby for a long time. Is there any kind of refresher you've got to go over to see, all right, how do I get extra time, or how does it work? Like, what's your kind of thought going into the format and how that helps you or hurts you?
Not really. I just think it's 3 minutes. You just got to be able to just get through it and just get hot, really. That's all it is.
Is Mackenzie your towel and Gatorade guy? Who's going to help you out?
Yeah, he should be there. Hopefully he'll be there with all of that, so...
Couple of the New York Giants could be watching. Like in addition to going like 4-13, they get to watch the home run derby.
Hey, we won't talk about Giants yet. We got a nice little off season, so looking forward to that.
Lastly, I know you got a lot of family and friends coming out. Who made the trip, and what are the next couple of days going to be like in terms of some family time?
Yeah, most of my immediate family's here, so. It's just busy, so, whatever we can get, so whether that's just like a dinner here and there and all that, but I'm sure they're enjoying all of it too, so just looking forward to a good week.
Have a blast. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
That is Grant live on the field with the ebullient superstar James Wood.
Just sounds thrilled.
Yeah. James, you're in line for dental surgery. How do you feel? The same as that.
Waffle House.
Speaking of GP... I think we have to double check and confirm this, Tobes, but I believe this is David Ortiz's best buddy.
Yes.
Grant Paulson joins us live from Truist Park. Mr. Ortiz's friend, how are you, Jeeps?
Yeah, that's right. I need to get remarried now so I can have a new best man. My brothers will have to move to the side. Weirdest thing that's ever happened.
Are you Little Poppy?
I'm Little Poppy. So, look, I met him years ago. There's no chance he remembers it. He was managing in the futures game at Nats Park, I believe, was the year. But one of the years, he managed in the futures game.
Right.
And I did an interview with him for like 5 minutes before the game because I was on our broadcast or whatever. He was great. It was one of my favorite interviews I've done, but whatever. That was my time meeting David Ortiz. He clearly doesn't remember that A and B, thinks I'm someone else. I'm in the hallway walking out onto the field just outside of the dugout here at Truist Park. He comes over to me. It's him and Jeter and A-Rod and, like, that whole Fox crew
yep.
are coming off the field. And Poppy, in Spanish, starts very excitedly talking to me, like raising his voice, and he comes over and he gives me like one of the big bro hug things. And he's like speaking Spanish to me, and I just froze. Like I didn't know, like I wasn't expecting it.
Right.
I don't speak Spanish. And it was very quick, and he just kind of looked at me very excitedly with a big smile, and then he walked away. To the point where multiple people came up to me right after, and they're like, how do you know David Ortiz? And I was like, I watched him on TV a couple of times. You know what I mean? Like, it was so strange. But he was clearly of the belief that I'm someone that I am not.
Like, if you had to bet all your money, who do you think he thinks you are?
I've been racking my brain about this. Who is a fat, bearded gentleman who's 5'8"? I don't know. The only thing I could think is, like, maybe a clubby from, like, the Red Sox or something. Like,
yeah, maybe.
You know, maybe, like, someone who threw him BP once or, when they needed, like, a random lefty.
But it's in Spanish.
What if he's a big fan of DC Afternoon Drive?
That could be. Maybe, we don't know it, but maybe he is actually, like, a huge Washington Commanders fan, and he watches us on YouTube every day.
Yeah.
But, again, the brief interaction we had was mostly in Spanish. So I have no idea who he thought I was. It was the weirdest thing because, again, like, there were people I was walking out to the field with, and they're like, how are you so tight with Poppy? And I was like, I don't know what just happened. It was
amazing.
So weird. It was a wacky.
What's the environment like out there right now at Truist Park?
It's fun, man. I will say my favorite thing about being out here today, the amount of people I've talked to about James Wood who are just marveling at his season. So Kyle Schwarber, who, Danny, you remember, we did a bunch of interviews with when he was with the Nats and was awesome to the show. He couldn't have been cooler. I talked to him for 5 or 6 minutes in the dugout, and he said, dude, this James Wood guy, he's like, you guys are in love, aren't you? I said, man, we just can't get enough. And he said, I've never seen a dude hit some of the balls in off the plate to left center the way he does. This is Kyle Schwarber, perennial 40-homer big league bat, saying this. I mean, he was talking about James Wood the way like you and I do, Danny, when we kind of can't fathom exactly how he's pulling it off. He talked about one ball, I don't know if it was against the Phillies or something he had just seen on video or whatever. I don't remember what the specific home run was, but he was saying basically to get his hands in and hit it where he did, he said he's never seen anyone do something quite like it. But that's the kind of conversations out here that I've been having with people, members of the coaching staff talking about how special he is. And you heard the interview. I mean, James was the most James you could ever James. Like, there was a big smile, more than normal, but not much more energy. I said to him, I said, tonight could be awesome for you, man. And he goes, yeah, we'll see. That was his
response. You're like, whoa, calm down, please.
After the interview, I said, no, but seriously, like, this is an amazing thing for you. And he's like, yeah, it'll be cool. He's just so chill. It's crazy.
Grant Paulson with us live from Truist Park down in Atlanta. So what are you expecting from him tonight?
You know, every time he's had an opportunity, I feel like he's risen to the occasion, right? He is such a slow heartbeat guy, such a comfortable guy on a big stage. I don't know why he wouldn't show well. The other thing is this ballpark, if we're being frank, I mean, this is tailor-made for a left-handed bat. I think most people are predicting that a lefty would win this thing. The chop house for people up in the Truist Park is kind of like that elevated area and right where the ball soars on line drives. Watching him in batting practice, I mean, he was just terrorizing people with one missile after another. It's like a little seating area out there. I actually think it's more likely, even though the down the left field line is a little bit shorter, it's a shorter fence, or a little bit further, like 325 down the right field line. So I think it'll be a lefty that wins this thing. I think he's got a really good chance. And what's going to help him, he's going first, which I hate. I wish he was hitting anywhere else of the eight hitters. He'll be the first guy to bat tonight. But they're not doing the terrible bracket thing where, like, you could go nuts and be eliminated because the guy you're facing had one more. So the top four home run hitters move on. Hopefully that helps them. And I'm trying to talk myself into going first, maybe being a good thing because it's so hot out here tonight as well. But I'd prefer if he was going a little deeper into the evening.
Who's his biggest threat, you think? I like this whole field. I think it's going to be a fun one tonight. But who do you think is the biggest threat?
Is it a cop-out to go Cal Raleigh, Tobes?
No.
I mean,
the guy on pace for 80 bombs? No.
I didn't even know this. So he's got 38 homers. Only Bonds with 39 has ever had more at the break. Like, that's wild to me. What a stat. I think Raleigh is in the mix. a lot of people are going with Matt Olson because it's his home ballpark, so he's ultra comfortable. He takes BP here all the time, and he's the only guy of the eight players in the home run derby field who has actually hit in a derby before. And I do think that matters. Because, like, James, even when we were just kind of talking off the interview, like, there's certain things about it where you're not really sure until you do it in terms of how to use the timeout and some of the functionality things. And I think Olson probably has a beat on that. So that wouldn't shock me. But I guess I would say Cal Raleigh. I mean, the guy I'm really, really interested in watching that I think in the same way as James Wood, like, helps his star rise the most tonight is Junior Caminero, the 23-year-old slugger from the Rays. Right-handed bat, which doesn't rule him out, but I do think makes it maybe a little bit more complicated here in Atlanta, because in left center, about maybe 50 feet from the foul line, is the deepest part of the park, essentially, like hardest to hit it out, kind of jets out into a triangle. Dead center is only 400. I think you can go there. That'll help James Wood as well, because, you know, his swing, even in BP, is tailor-made to hit some balls over top of the second base bag in the air.
GP, got to broaden it here. Before I let you jump, as someone that follows prospects, minors, majors, the whole nine yards, what have you made so far of the Nationals draft, kind of both the player that they took and maybe big picture what it means?
I really, really liked what they did. Like, we talk about this all the time, Danny. It's such a crapshoot in every draft, in every sport, but especially in baseball, because you're drafting high schoolers, teenagers. There's no harder sport to get to the pinnacle of and to be good at than Major League Baseball. So when we're talking about 17, 18-year-old high schoolers, which they went heavy with early, I mean, you're throwing darts. But I think the philosophy was awesome. I loved the Eli Willis pick. That was not a pick that they made because they could save money. I think that was a feature, not a bug, so to speak. Like, that was the icing on the cake to their favorite player in the draft. And I talked to multiple teams today who told me he was the number one player on their board. Like, that's a thing that some people thought. He's a more complete player with more average or better major league tools when it's all said and done, maybe, than Ethan Holliday, who's got the bigger power. And the question is, well, will it throw in to any legitimate power to help him reach some stardom? But going with him at one made a lot of sense to me. I was surprised they did it because it's bold for an interim general manager to not take one of the bigger names and the bigger stars in Cade Anderson or Ethan Holliday. But I loved it. So that was kind of my thought on that pick. And the other thing it did is by saving a little bit of money there, which everyone kind of perceived, it seems like, as being cheap, that's not how the draft works. Like, you still spend the money.
Right, the slot's
the slot,
yeah.
You just get to spend it on later picks. So they, if you look at what they did from picks three, you know, third round through fifth round, they took three high schoolers, including a couple of pitchers who are massive high ceiling, depending on where you're looking, like top 50 to 75 prospects in the class, that shouldn't have probably been available and got pushed down the board because the Nats were able to pay them more than other teams. So I think the strategy was brilliant. I thought they executed it well. And much of the rest of the draft in some ways is now like a, you know, just let's see if anything sticks. But I think the first half dozen or so rounds specifically gives them a chance to add some real pieces. They also went college bat, power heavy early. You took, you know, the catcher who had the most home runs in the nation this year with 26 and was the highest WAR catcher in college baseball in the sixth round. And they also got, you know, a 70 power potential option out of the SEC at South Carolina. You know, it doesn't do a whole lot other than hit home runs, but I thought that was nice to sprinkle in some guys who could move a little quicker and hit for power for a system. Remember, that's devoid of it. I mean, only there's no team that has had the fewer number of home runs hit than the Nationals by their own draft picks since 2015. And they're 72 home runs fewer than anybody else. The second worst team is the Pirates. So at some point, you got to draft some power. And I thought they did that, sprinkled in with the high upside high schoolers.
Jeeps, appreciate you joining us, man. Have fun out there in Atlanta. Enjoy the Derby tonight. And tell James not to get too excited and not to go too crazy at the Waffle House tonight.
Are people fired up? Do you guys get the sense that in town people care a lot about Wood and the Derby tonight?
I think there's a mild buzz. It's probably not as much as it should be, to be honest with you. But it was something where it was like, oh, this will be neat. This is what I'll watch tonight. But I just think it's such a slow time in the sports calendar. People are going to tune in, though. I think if he puts on a show, the whole town will be on fire tomorrow. I really do.
That's the thing, right? Like, it goes one of two ways, probably. There's a chance he gets eliminated in the first four, and he was in the Derby, and it's a cool story, and that's kind of the end of it. But there's also the possibility, like, what if he's the star of the night, and he wins this darn thing, and he goes on that same list with Bryce and Soto, and he's the talk of baseball tomorrow morning? Like, that would be an amazing thing.
That would be a lot of fun for all of us. Enjoy it, buddy. Have fun tonight.
See you, Jeeps.
See you, guys.
There he goes. That is Grant Paulson. Speaking of Grant, we're going to do more Grant right now this minute. Caught up with the other Nationals All-Star, ace pitcher Mackenzie Gore. This is moments ago at Truist Park.
On the field, batting practice ahead of tonight's home run derby, and I found the ace of the Nationals, a first-time All-Star, Mackenzie Gore. What a season for you, and I'm sure what a dream come true to be here as an All-Star. Is that reality set in yet as you make the rounds here during BP?
Yeah. It's been fun. Look forward to James tonight and see what happens there. So it's been great so far.
James with a chance to show well in this home run derby. I was joking with him that maybe you'll be the guy to bring out the towel and the Gatorade. Have you guys thought about when the timeout should come, how that's going to work?
What was his answer?
He didn't know yet when he was going to burn the timeout, but he said he was hoping you were going to be the towel and Gatorade guy.
Yeah, I think I am. I don't know. Hopefully he gets rolling early, and then he just uses it late, but I don't know how it works. I'm just there for...
So he gets locked in, though. You might have to be like his corner man to tell him when to burn it. If you start to see something, you're like a coach on the field.
Yeah, I have a little more responsibility than I planned on. But it'll be fun to watch him.
So. It's going to be good. It's amazing to me when you get out here. I was talking to Schwarber and a couple guys who I've known from the past in D.C., and they're like, this James Wood dude is ridiculous, the stuff he does. Going back to spring training, you guys have seen this, but yeah. I mean, were there times where you just said, holy bleep, like, how does this dude do this?
I think I told y'all I wasn't going to be surprised by anything he did. Being steady is probably the most impressive thing that he's done. There's been a lot going on, and he's just continued to do his thing, which is very impressive for a 22-year-old.
How about for you? We've been talking the last 3 years about different ways you're trying to improve yourself, and there's more leaps every single year. Where do you feel like you've maybe made the biggest strides in D.C. now?
I think just continuing to improve from the year before, learn from what we're doing, and you got to keep getting better, and it was a good first half and finish strong.
When you look back at the first half, I don't know if you're a numbers guy who like looks at your stats or not, but what are you proudest of in terms of the areas where you've grown?
Obviously the strikeouts were great. We slowed up a little bit in June, but we still were able to get people out in June, which was big, because we just struck out a lot of guys early, and then we're still able to get guys out. But, the walks are down. We're not getting up as many runs up at this point. We're controlling what we can control a little better than we did in the past is really what it comes down to, and we just got to continue to do that.
You mentioned the June strikeouts. You got deep into starts, though. Like, you were getting quicker contact. That's a trade-off you might want. But, like, why do you think you went from lead in major leagues to, like, there were starts where it was a little less than one per inning?
Yeah, I think, there always goes a lot of adjustments. I think the sequencing was off. We got a little predictable. And sometimes you're just not going to strike out 10-plus, I think that it comes down to that, too. So, but I think as a whole, we've done a good job of going 6-plus for the most part all year, and we just got to keep doing that.
Mackenzie Gore, the Nationals, with us here on 106.7 The Fan. Is this the top for you in terms of accomplishments in your career so far? How does this stack up? Is your third overall pick, pitching a futures game? Is this kind of the next box to check?
All-Star game is awesome. Something you dream about. So enjoy this, and then you get back to work this weekend. So,
will you get any downtime at all because of the break here? I would think you're right back to the ballpark. How does that work?
A couple days after this, and then we're right back to it Friday.
Appreciate the time. Thanks.
BP with Mackenzie Gore there at Truist Park. Gore, now kind of to his point, has dropped, and I don't say that.
Fallen way down the list.
Way. Yeah, he's fourth in the league in strikeouts.
Way down there.
Fourth in the National League in WAR for pitchers. Mm. So it's going pretty good. Now, the win-loss record, if you ask somebody from the 1920s, that's the major story. It's not for me. He's been excellent.
So my new thing about this, Danny, is the win-loss record really doesn't ultimately matter in terms of what your record is, in terms of telling you whether you're a good pitcher or not. But it tells a pretty big story, right?
Yeah.
Guy's got a 3.02 ERA and he's 4-8. His team's probably not any good. that's what the story tells.
That is correct. Yeah, so he's right there in terms of what you'd want from an ace pitcher. It's kind of all happening in front of our eyes this year. It's a small enough sample still, the first half of the season, where a couple blip starts really knocked his ERA up higher, frankly, than it will settle ultimately. When you look at some of those numbers, fielding independent pitching is lower than his ERA. That's always a sign. It's saying, no, what you can control is going really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the strikeout totals, you look at to his point, the walk totals. Now you're talking, less than 8 hits per 9. Strikeout to walk ratio is excellent. I mean, he's there with some of the best pitchers in baseball.
Been so impressed by his growth this year. the stuff, kind of understanding his mix. I think that's been a big part of it. He talked about some of the predictability and maybe needing to work on some sequencing. We'll see how that translates to the second half. But I've been really impressed how he's honed all that in to go with the mentality and just everything that he's taken a step forward this year. This is kind of what we all dreamed about when they got him in that trade, was can this guy be a dominant ace-type pitcher? And he's shown you that he absolutely can be in the first half this year. Now it's about putting a full year together, because we've seen good stretches before. Now he put together a whole first half. Can he do it again in the second half? But really cool for him to be in Atlanta for the All-Star game.
Put you on the spot here. Give me your home run derby champion tonight.
I'm going to go way out on a limb and go with a guy called, I think his name's James Wood.
Oh. James Wood is your champion.
Yeah, the Waffle House guy.
I think O'Neill Cruz swings too hard and gets too tired. Give me dark horse Brent Rooker.
Ooh.
Just for fun. Brent Rooker wins this thing tonight. But I hope James Wood advances a little bit. We get to see more of him tonight.
What's the farthest home run J-Dub hits tonight?
453.
Mm.
453. Touched.
I think,
right center.
I think I said like 470 or something like that.
470. Good Lord.
Let's get crazy.
Topes, this was fun. Let's party tomorrow.
A lot of fun, man.
For Toby, I'm Danny. Bennett, for Ben, for Daris, we'll wish you guys a fond farewell. Linnell Willingham has got overtime tonight. He'll also be streaming. So if you got the stream going, keep the stream going. We're going to go deep into the evening, give you some live local coverage as James Wood hits nukes down there in Atlanta for the Home Run Derby. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Until then, see ya.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.